ما شاء الله حجي محمد، كيف حالك؟ الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلوات ربه وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. We have had a break which I admit was longer than I suppose. supposed to have had the break. But welcome back for those of you who are back, alhamdulillah. Today the topic is how far am I from Jannah? So today you, everyone in the class, inshallah, will be able to decide for him or herself. I can't measure. I was going to ask you to bring tape measures with, but it's not that kind of measurement. So it's an important question to answer, especially for young people. When we start off, I want to say that I'm going to deal with more substance and rhetoric this year, inshallah. So I want to start with a kitab which I already pointed out to you, Al-Lu'li wal-Marjan, فيما اتفق عليه شيخان البخاري ومسلم. This book is a book which contains the most authentic ahadith of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is a book which joins in one book that which Imam Muslim and Imam Bukhari agreed upon. So they were the top two hadith scholars. So all the hadith which they both agreed upon is written in this book. So the two of them has been accepted by the Ummah, by Islam, by the Ulama, to be the greatest scholars of hadith. And as I said in one lecture, that you must remember that Imam Abu Hanifa and Imam, not Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim lived after the four Imams. So when Imam, our Imam, who was our Imam? This Abu Hanifa, your Imam was? Imam Shafi'i. Imam Shafi'i and Imam Abu Hanifa, I'm just going to mention the two, they precede the great jurist of hadith. So they were not in contact with Imam Abu Hanifa nor with Imam Muslim. They didn't have these books available to them. So there would be some differences between Imam Shafi'i, Imam Abu Hanifa, and Imam al-Bukhari, and Imam Muslim. Because knowledge develops all the time. Knowledge develops all the time. The Quran is a standard book, but the tafsir of the Quran develops as man develops, as society develops, as science develops. So we find the answers for all that we are confronted with in the Quran. And of course, you know, when I was in matric, we had these textbooks of maths and science and all these things. Then they had a small book. What was it called? Notes on the subject. You used to buy it at Jutas, where they gave you a synopsis of what was in the textbook. So the ahadith, I bought all those little booklets because, you know, I passed because of those little booklets because I understood it better when it was compressed. Similarly, the ahadith of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hadith of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains the Quran. So it's in simpler language and gives much more examples for ordinary people to understand. Because the Quran was sent for everybody. The Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam also sent for everybody. And it was the duty of the anbiya to interpret the books that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to them. Like the Injil to Nabi Isa. Is that correct? And so forth and so on. So we're going to start with a very famous hadith on iman, because iman is the foundation of our faith. And iman can be translated loosely into faith, belief. Iman refers to that which is inside. You can't show that to anybody. So if somebody talks about iman, what is your iman? Or what is iman? That's a fundamental question. What is iman? What is faith? If a non-Muslim should ask you, you're a Muslim, what is your faith? You say Islam. But then you say, no. I'm talking about what do you believe in? What is inside you? Can you tell me what do you believe that's inside your heart, deep inside your heart? Abu Huraira, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بارزا يوما للناس. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was one day sitting with the people in the masjid, and he was exposed to them. He was looking at them, and they were looking at him, and they were waiting for him to prepare to start his lecture, start his talk that he was going to give to them. When فأتاه رجل فقال, a man came into the masjid. Sahaba was surprised to see this man. They've never seen this man before. He was fair of complexion. He had a black beard. And he was dressed like somebody who didn't travel. He had no dust on his clothes. But none of the Sahaba could recognize him. So obviously he was not a man of Medina. فَأَتَاهُ رَجُلٌ, this man came, and he came to sit in front of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his knees touching the knees of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The surprise of Sahaba, that this strange stranger comes into the masjid and he sits right in front of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he puts his hands on the thighs of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And immediately he looks at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says, he greeted the Prophet, assalamu alaykum ya Muhammad. Assalamu alaykum ya Muhammad. He was in terms with the Nabi sallallahu alayhi. They knew each other very well. So the Sahaba was surprised that this man also knew the name of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi salatu wasalam. And he asked the first question. He asked the Nabi sallallahu alayhi a question. First question was, mal iman ya Rasulullah? What is faith? What is iman? So we're going back to fundamentals. And this year, inshallah, I want to spend on fundamentals, the fundamentals of the deen. You know, we always talk about politics and the history of this person and the history of that person and so forth and so on. And I think we miss out on the fundamentals. And I think our children also miss out on the fundamentals. So what is the first question? First question was, what is iman? What did the Prophet say? Al-imanu an tu'minu billah. The first dimension of iman is belief in Allah. Belief in Allah. Not God. You can't use the word God when you talk about iman. Even if you're speaking to a non-Muslim, you have to use the word Allah. Because the connotation of Allah is not the same as the connotation of God in other faiths. So the Prophet said, أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وبلقائه وبرسله وتؤمن بالبعث. Prophet answered and said, to believe in Allah and His angels. Number one is Allah, number two is angels. So first the heavenly, those that are in the heavens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the malaika. وَبِلِقَائِهِ, number three, in our meeting with Allah. You must believe that you're going to meet Allah. Face to face, in the sense that you will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. وَبِلِقَائِهِ وَبِرُسُلِهِ, and you must believe in every single messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isa, Musa, Nuh, Ibrahim, all the prophets of the Old Testament and all the prophets that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran. Wa tu'minu bil ba'th, and you must believe in the resurrection on the day of Qiyamah, the resurrection, that you will rise from your grave. Subhanallah. So these are the fundamentals of what should be in your heart. I believe in Allah. I believe in the angels. I believe in my meeting with Allah. I believe in all the prophets that Allah sent. I believe in the resurrection. And this accounts very well with what the Christians believe and the Jews believe. It shouldn't be a surprise to them if you say this to them. But you need to know this answer. It's a very important answer. Or your child asks you, Daddy, what is iman? We all talk about iman. You're a little imani. You know, your iman is weak. What's wrong with you? So what if the child won't resist you? But what is iman? So this is the answer. Then the man asked, Mal Islam? What is Islam? What is Islam? If I should ask you the question, I can see by your body language that you're thinking, what is Islam? Who can tell me what is Islam? No, off the cuff answer. What is Islam? What is the first part of Islam? No. That is in the first part. That is in Iman. That is what is inside. To believe and tu'minu billahi wa malaikatihi wa liqa'ihi and ba'ath, to believe in the resurrection. What is Islam? It's important to know this on your fingertips. Why? Because you need to know this. Every footstep that you take, you need to have this with you. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept any other deen except the deen of Islam. No other deen will be accepted, no matter who it is, no matter what it is, except for Islam. So we need to know what is Islam. So the first principle of Islam is, and Islam refers to the outwardness of a Muslim. Iman refers to the inside of a Muslim. Believe in Allah, to believe in the angels. Those are beliefs that you can't see it, you have to believe it. That you're going to rise up again, day of Qiyamah. That you're going to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These things you can't see. So this is absolute belief. But now we come to Islam. Islam is the outward reflection of those beliefs which is inside. So it starts with al-Islamu an ta'bud Allah. The first principle of your Islam is that you worship Allah. Somebody say, what is Islam? Daddy, what is Islam? My child, the first principle of Islam is to make ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is ibadah? Anybody? Salah is ibadah. It's one part of his ibadah. Dua is ibadah. Wudud is ibadah. Fasting is ibadah. Hajj is ibadah. Smile is ibadah. All the good things you do in life is ibadah. Why is it ibadah? Because you know you're doing it for the sake of Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you smile with your Muslim brother, you are doing it because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled when he looked at people's faces. And Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taught by who? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everything goes back to Allah. So, an ta'bud Allah. First sign of Islam is, so the first sign of the Islam of a Muslim is what? Is ibadah. And the foundation of ibadah is what? Salah. As-salatu, Prophet said, as-salatu imaduddin. Faman aqamaha faqad aqamaddin. Waman taraka faqad hadamaddin. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, as-salatu imad. Salah is the imad, is the foundation of the deen. And the person who builds that foundation, he builds the deen. And the person who leaves that foundation, he breaks down the deen. And in the end, you'll find he has no deen. Without salah, there is no deen. Without salah, there is no iman. Salah is the foundation of your Islam. وَلَا تُشْرِكْ بِهِ شَيْئًا. Number two is that you should not ascribe any partner in your ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is extremely important to know what is shirk. Allah tushrik with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet says, wala tushrik billah. Do not include anybody in your ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And specifically in the salah and dua. And I will deal with what shirk is. Very important subject to know. We need to know it in detail. Because shirk is between us and Jannah. The Quraysh believed in Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ask him, who is the ilah? Who is their God? And the Quraysh said, we believe in Allah. And then the Prophet said, but you believe in Allah, but why do you worship the idols? They said, because we believe that the idols will bring us closer to Allah. And where will Allah put the Quraysh? In Jahannam. They made tawaf around the Baytullah. They gave sadaqat. They believed in Allah. When they lifted their hands, they said, Ya Allah. They said, like we say, Ya Allah. But what did they say? Just by the way, you know, these idols that here, we make dua via them. We don't make dua to Allah. وَتُقِيبُ الصَّلَاةَ الْمَكْتُوبَةِ To make your salah. To perform your salah, which has been written for you. وَتُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ الْمَكْتُوبَةَ وَتُؤَدِّ الزَّكَاةَ الْمَفْرُوضَةَ And to give the zakah. So I'll be going in fine detail on the salah. We will deal with the salah in great detail in this year, inshallah. And also zakah will, Ramadan comes, and you know, those of us who pay our zakah in Ramadan, it's very good to pay it in Ramadan. You can pay it at any other time. وَتَصُومُ رَمَضَانَ And the Soma of Ramadan. So what is Islam then? Again, I repeat. Islam is تُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ No, that's not Islam. That's Iman. You have to distinguish between the two. The one is inside, the one is outside. So the first principle of Islam is أَنْ تَعْبُدَ اللَّهِ To worship Allah. And as he rightly said, the foundation of worship is what? Salah. Without salah, Allah doesn't accept anything else of yours. What if you don't make salah, you can build 1,000 masjids. You can go 100 times for Umrah. You can be good to your parents and kind to your neighbors. All those things. You could be a good doctor and a good chemist and a good nurse and a good teacher. If you don't make salah, why? Because on the day of Qiyamah, you will stand in front of Allah and your book will be open. The first page will say, As-Salah. أَوَّلُ مَا يُحَاسَبُ عَلِي الْعَبْدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ As-Salah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the first thing that you will be asked on the day of judgment is about your salah. You won't be asked, it's already written there for you. فَإِنْ صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ سَائِرُ عَمَلِي وَإِنْ فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ سَائِرُ عَمَلِي Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and if you fail the test of salah, the book is closed. Allah doesn't look at all the umrahs you made, all the tawafs you made, and the hajj you made, and the fasting you did. Allah looks first at salah. That's like, you know, in my days in matric, there were certain subjects, even if you got honors in all the other subjects, but you failed this subject, you failed. You failed Afrikaans, you failed English. You failed the exam. All right. So zakah you must give and to fast in the month of Ramadan. Why is Hajj not mentioned in this particular hadith? Have you noticed Hajj is not mentioned? Ends with Tasumu Ramadan. Now there are many variations of this hadith, but there's a reason why Hajj is not mentioned here. Because Hajj is an external function of Iman, but it is dependent on whether you are able to go. You can't just go. You have to be able to go. You have to have money to get there. And today you have to have lots and lots of money to get there. So it means that if you could not go for Hajj, you will not be asked about Hajj. If you didn't go for Hajj, Allah won't ask you. But the other four, you're going to be asked about every one of them. Zakah, fasting, salah. But not Only for those who are people who have been on Arafah, they will question about the Hajj. وَقَالَ مَا الْإِحْسَانِ So this beautiful man who came in by the door and sitting in front of the Prophet ﷺ, he asked, what is perfection? What is ihsan? Only Allah is perfect, but he asked the question, ihsan. And the Prophet answered, and you know the answer, you've heard the hadith, أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى To worship Allah as if you can see Him. And we will never see Allah in the dunya. We only see Allah qiyamah. So we will never... If we make salah, you can't close your eyes and say, I saw Allah. No, you can't never see Allah. You can't dream of Allah, you can never see Allah. You only see Allah, day of Qiyamah. So what is ihsan? That you pray. In other words, you pray in such a way that you cut yourself off from the dunya. And I know it's very difficult. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the most that a person, say salah is 100%. The most that Allah will give you is 50%. The most, the highest, what is the word? What is the word? Result that you will get from salah is 50%. Nobody can say, well, I just made salah, you know, I think I made perfect salah. No, no perfect salah. Maximum is 50%. 50% and down. So which means that those of us who are over 70 and over 60 and over 65, we should be careful about just making salah, as, you know, like we made the last 60 years, we made the same salah. We need to concentrate. We need to be present in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet said to Jibreel, of course it was Jibreel who was sitting in front of him, for verily if you cannot see Allah, Allah can see you. You know, when I read this, I can feel the hair standing up on my body. If you cannot see Allah, Allah sees you. Not only in the salah, Allah sees you everywhere. Wherever you are, wherever we are, Allah sees. Subhanallah. So it means salah is part of that consciousness. That if you raise your hands, when Sayyidina Ali, in the battle, I think it's the battle of Uhud, he was shot with an arrow. It was an arrow shot, I think, through his leg, right through. And the Sahaba tried to take out the arrow. And every time they touched the arrow, he screamed because it was so painful. So they said, Ali said, wait. I'm going to make salah. When I'm in my sujood, take out the arrow. So he made salah, and when he was in sujood, they pulled the arrow and he didn't flinch. Because that is the spot and the place where you have you are the closest to Allah, furthest away from the world, and closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I know. We're not there yet. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give that. At least in one salah we should get to that point, inshallah. Maybe we should all shoot arrows in all our legs and see what happens. Subhanallah. That's why the Sahaba and the great ones, the four ones, Abu Bakr, Umar, Ali, Uthman, they were the greatest. Then the last question that he asked the Prophet was, Mata sa'a? When is the last hour? When is the world going to come to an end? And the dead is going to be resurrected from the graves. When is that time? We say every day, Qiyamah, Katsin, Qiyamah, Qiyamah, Nabi, Qiyamah, Abidrai, Qiyamah. We don't know. Maybe the signs are all there, but we don't know. These same signs were there in the whole of history. All the things that's happening today happened from the time before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Lut. We think today, oh, people are gay. People want to be male, female. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You think it's a modern thing? No, it's not a modern thing. It's been... Since the time of Lut. and everything else. So Jibreel said to him, when he asked this question about when is the last day, Jibreel said to him, Mal mas'oolu anna bi'a'lam min as-sa'il. He said, the one you expect to answer knows as much as the one who's asking. You see? We too know as much about Sa'a. You don't, what you know about Sa'a, what I know about Sa'a is the same. We don't know. So the Prophet ﷺ turned around and he said, turned to the Sahaba and he said, I want to tell you about the signs of the hour. إِذَا وَلَدَتِ الْأَمَةُ رَبَّهَا. When the slave girl will give birth to her master. When the slave girl will give birth to her master. You can think about the tafsir of that. وَإِذَا تَطَاوَلَ رِعَاءَ الْإِبْلِ الْبَهْمِ فِي الْبُنْيَانِ. And the people who are camel drivers and sheep drivers, farmers, they will start building very high buildings, like the buildings in Makkah and Medina and in Riyadh and in Dubai and Qatar. These are all the Muslim countries. And they were all camel drivers. They all lived in the desert with sheep and cattle. And this is a sign there that Sa'a is close. And then the Prophet ﷺ quoted the verse, "Inna Allah 'indahu 'ilmu sa'a." Prophet said to the Sahaba, "There are five things that only Allah knows. There are five things only Allah knows. Inna Allah 'indahu 'ilmu sa'a. Only Allah knows the last hour when it will come. Wa yunazzilu al-ghayth, and Allah sends down the rain." And he knows what is in the womb. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا. And he knows what you will earn tomorrow. أَيْنَ تَمُوتُ. وَيَعْلَمُ فِي أَيْ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ. And he knows where every, which part of the earth every person will die upon. So Allah knows that one is going to die there. He's going to die in his bed. He's going to die now. Wherever. So five things. What does Allah know that we don't know? One. Haji Muhammad. Allah knows Sa'ah, the last hour. Two. Allah sends down the rain. I look at myself at the level and predict and say it's going to rain. It's going to sunshine. Allah sends down the rain. Number three. He knows what is in the womb of the mother. Not who is in the womb of the mother. Ma, what is in the womb of the mother. Everybody knows who is in the womb of the mother. Today they can say, boy, girl, twins, one is a boy, one is a girl, twins, two is a boy, twins, two girls. Simple. They scan it and they see it. But Allah says, no, I know what is there. The personality of the person, the future of that person. وعلم عند ساعة ويعلم ما في الأرحام ولا تدري نفس ماذا تكسب غدا. And no man knows what you'll earn tomorrow. Because tomorrow doesn't exist. Tomorrow does not exist. Isn't it? We plan always for tomorrow. In fact, we plan for 5 years ahead, 10 years ahead. We're planning for things. That's why the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah says, Hadith Qudsi, why you run around like, you run around like a crazy people for money, rizq. Then this, then that, sleepless nights, you know, must make this deal and that deal. And Allah says, oh my servants, no matter how you're going to lose sleepless nights and do whatever, you will only get what I've written for you. Bil azal, in the beginning. If I've written for you in the beginning, that is what you will get. How it will come to you It will know, it knows your address and your street number and everything. Subhanallah. So where should your emphasis be in your life? Not in your bank balance. It should be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, Allah looks down at you all the time. Allah, we don't know what taqdeer is. Allah can increase it, Allah can diminish it. So Ruddu, the Prophet then said, bring that man back. Where is he? He left. Where is he? Bring him back. Falam yarahu shay'an. He was gone. So the Prophet said, Hadha Jibreel ja'a yu'alliman nasa deenahum. The Prophet said, that is, was Jibreel who came to teach you your deen. So you have to know when you go home, please. You have to revise what is Islam, what is Iman, what is Islam. You have to know these two things. It's done. Okay. You see? Maybe I should lower this. I should lower this. A man one day came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, Ya Rasulullah. He asked the same question that Jibreel asked the Prophet. Mata sa'a? He asked the Prophet ﷺ, when is the last hour, Ya Rasulullah? It's a Bedouin. So the Prophet ﷺ looked at him and the Prophet smiled and the Prophet said to him, so what have you prepared for the last hour? The Prophet asked him, so you want to know when the last hour is, but what have you prepared for that last hour? So the man looked at the Prophet ﷺ in silence. And he looked at the Prophet ﷺ and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I've prepared my love for you and for Allah for that moment. The love that I have for you, in the love that I have for Allah, that is my preparation for that moment. I love you and I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, look at that answer. So that is what we strive for, isn't it? The love of the Prophet and the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next hadith a man of the people of Najd. Najd is a place, a part of Saudi Arabia. He was a Bedouin. Hair was not combed. It's the kind of man he was. Talha describes the man. And he was shouting at the Prophet. Talha says, Sahaba was there and he raised his voice. And they couldn't understand what he was saying. Hatta dana fa'idha huwa yas'al anil Islam. So when they came near to him and he dropped his voice, they understood that he was asking the Prophet about Islam. About Islam. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He asked the Prophet, what is Islam? And the Prophet ﷺ said to him, خَمْسُ صَلَوَاتٍ فِي الْيَوْمِ وَالْلَيْلَةِ. Islam is, the outward of Islam is, to pray five times during the night and the day. So there are three salahs at night, and how many during the day? Two salahs. Dhuhr and Asr. So the man asked, he said, Ya Rasulullah, is that all? Only five salahs every day. So I'm saying, yeah. The fard salahs, you must make. that is compulsory on you every day. So he said, is there any other salah? Prophet said, yes, other salah also, there's the sunnah salah. He said, we have to make the sunnah salah. Prophet said, no. We're not forced to make it. But it's compulsory for you to make the five fard salah. Qala wa siyamu Ramadan. The Prophet said, you must fast in the month of Ramadan. So we asked, should I fast any other time? Compulsory? Prophet said, no. There's no other compulsory fasting. It's sunnah fasting. But it's not compulsory on you to fast. Sunnah fasts. Then the Prophet mentioned zakah. 2.5%. And he said the same to the Prophet. Is there more that I must give or just 2.5%? Prophet said, well, that is your fard zakah. That is all you have to give. That is the fard. Allah has made compulsory. He said, must I give anything? The Prophet said, yes. If you want to give sadaqah, you can give sadaqah. But not compulsory. قال فأدبر الرجل وهو يقول. So the man turned around and he walked away. And he said loud, لا أزيد على هذا. He said loud, so everybody could hear him. He said, so I'm not going to make anything more than what you've just told me. I'm just going to make five salah, no sunnahs. I'm just going to fast in the month of Ramadan. Not fasting any other time. I am just going to give my 2.5% zakah. What else? That's it. لا أنقصه. He said, I will not lessen any of that, but I will not add anything to it. The Prophet turned to the Sahaba. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أفلح إن صدق أفلح إن صدق. He will be successful if he's telling the truth. What does it mean? It means if you just do this, just the compulsory items which the Prophet said. What does أفلح mean? What does success mean? It means you will enter paradise. The Prophet said, he will enter paradise if he's telling the truth. So all of us sitting here should actually already be in Jannah, isn't it? All of us make five times salah. But sometimes we're more worried about the sunnah than the fard. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. I withdraw those words. So that is your deen. That is your Islam. And if you do what the Prophet said to this man you should do, then you're a good Muslim. You will enter paradise. And another hadith, a similar man came and the Prophet gave him the same answers. Prophet, no, not the same answer. He also wanted to know. Also a Bedouin. He also wanted to know, you know, what is Islam about? And the Prophet said to him, تعبد الله لا تشرك به شيئا. Worship Allah and don't give any partners to Allah. وتؤتي الزكاة, give your zakah. وتصلي الرحيم. And the Prophet added one more. Keep the family ties. Keep the family ties. Third man came with the same question, also wanted to know, he wanted to know, دَلَّنِي عَلَىٰ عَمَلٍ إِذَا عَمِلْتُهُ دَخَلْتُ جَنَّةً. He asked the person, Ya Rasulullah, give me one thing that will make me enter Jannah. Just one. Tell me something in one sentence that will open the gates of Jannah for me. Prophet said to him, تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِهِ شَيْئًا. Pray and do not worship and do not make shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make salah, give zakah. No, sorry, ma'am. It's a top hadith. Sorry, ma'am. Prophet said, worship, don't make shirk. Make your salah, give your zakah, fast in the month of Ramadan. And he also said, I will just do that, I will not exceed in what you just told me. فَلَمَّا وَلَّى, and when he turned away, walked away, the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ سَرَّهُ أَنْ يَنْظُرَ إِلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ فَلْيَنْظُرْ إِلَىٰ هَذَا. Prophet ﷺ turned to the Sahaba and said, if any one of you wishes to see a man of Jannah, look at that man. Subhanallah. And what did the Prophet say to him? What must he do? He must worship Allah and not make shirk. And he must perform his salah. So you see, ibadah and salah is different. Two things. Prophet said, ibadah to Allah without shirk. Make your salah. Give your zakah. And fast in the month of Ramadan. So people say, Islam, you know, we make Islam difficult for ourselves and for our children and for the community. These are the fundamentals. I want to do a last hadith. I think I'm running out of time. Which I wanted to. Yeah. Very important hadith. Let's see if I can find it. Oh, yeah, here it is. This is a hadith by Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Anybody know Mu'adh ibn Jabal, what he was famous for? Mu'adh ibn Jabal was the first da'i that the Prophet sent to which place? Which place? Mu'adh ibn Jabal, Prophet sent him to which country? To go and call people to Islam. To Yemen. Yemen? And he was, the Prophet loved him very much. One day the Prophet walked with him and took his hand. Like you see the Arabs walking hand in hand? That is their custom. Nothing to do with their sexual orientation. That's their custom. So the Prophet took his hand and the Prophet said, Wallahi, Ya Mu'adh, inni uhibbuk. Prophet said to him, I love you. I love you. SubhanAllah. Imagine the Prophet tells you that he loves you. SubhanAllah. Let's see what happens with Mu'adh in this hadith. He says he was sitting on the back of the camel. The Prophet was riding the camel, he was sitting at the back of the camel. And between him and the Prophet was the back of the seat of the Prophet. The Prophet called him, Ya Mu'adh. And he responded. He said, Labbaik Ya Rasulullah. Then the Prophet carried on with the camel. Second time, after a while, long time, Prophet said, Ya Mu'adh. He said, Ya Labbaik Ya Rasulullah. He said, I'm here, Ya Rasulullah. Prophet asked him, Prophet said to him, Hal tadri ma haqqullahi ala ibadihi? Listen. What did the Prophet ask him? Prophet asked him, do you know what is the right of Allah over his servant? Or servants. What is the right of Allah over us? Qultu Allah wa Rasulu A'lam. He said, Allah and his messenger knows best. I don't know. Prophet said, the right of Allah, haqqullahi ala ibadihi wala yushriku bihi shay'a. The haqq. Listen very carefully. The haqq of Allah over us and the whole of humanity. An ya'budu, that we worship Him. So what does Allah require of us? All our worship must be entirely, absolutely, 100% for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he said, Mu'adh, and we drove for long distance. That's what the Prophet said, long distance. He didn't say anything. Then again the Prophet said, Ya Mu'adh, said, Labbaik Ya Rasulullah. Prophet asked him, Ya Mu'adh, هَلْ تَدْرِي مَا حَقُّ الْعِبَادِ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِذَا فَعَلُوا. Listen carefully. He said, Oh Mu'adh, what is the right of a person who fulfills the right of Allah? What is the right of Allah? What is his right over Allah? So I worship only Allah. What is, Allah says, that is his right. Prophet said, do you know what is my right then? What is my right that I have? On the day of Qiyamah, I can tell Allah, Ya Allah, I only worshiped you. Then what must Allah do for me? It's my right. I can demand my right from Allah. What is that right? Prophet ﷺ said, حق العباد, the right of the servant, of the slave. على الله, upon Allah. Allah يعذبهم, that he cannot punish them on the day of judgment. How easy it is to enter Jannah. But your ibadah must be purely for Allah. You have nothing in between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ever. You ask none but Allah. You make effort, you can ask people, but your main ask is for who? For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O means a khabar from tawakkul. Tawakkul means you put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you can see how important the matter of shirk is. If you worship only Allah, you have a right that Allah cannot punish you. For whatever other things you may have done, all your sins will be forgiven. Allah can't punish you. Because you have given the right of Allah by worshipping only Allah. وَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah himself says, I have not created you except to worship me. That's Allah's right. Because a man who worships Allah, he will do whatever else he has to do. But a man who doesn't worship Allah, he'll neglect his zakah, he'll neglect his fasting, he won't save up to go for umrah or for hajj. But a man who makes salah only for Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. All right. Any questions? So you can see, not difficult to get to Jannah. But you ask me, what about my sins? What about my sins? What about my sins as much as the foam on the sea? I don't even want to talk about it. Sheikh, don't even mention. SubhanAllah. لا يغفر ذنوبا. لا يغفر ذنوبا إلا الله. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? No one can forgive your sins except Allah. You don't have to be shy. You don't have to be shy about your sins. Allah says, نبي عبادي نبي عبادي إني أنا الغفور. Allah says to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabbi ibadi. Allah commands, Allah says to the Prophet, Nabbi ibadi. Tell my servants, my ibad, what? Inni ana al-ghafur rahim. I, Allah says to us, Inni ana, inni, verily I. Allah says, oh Muhammad, tell them, verily I and another I. Verily, inni ana. What about inni ana? Inni ana al-ghafur rahim. I am the forgiving one. I am the merciful one. Don't worry about that. I am the forgiving one. You worship me without making shirk. SubhanAllah. All right. I promised myself, this young man sitting here in front of me, this young man, I gave lectures, Darul Ilam, it was in the 60s, 80s, 70s. You were there all the time, isn't it? His father was Imam Zain Badi, Allah rahmu, my good friend, who organized the lectures. So I think 10 years I lectured there. It was 10 years that I was there at Darul Ilam. So you were there all the time. And you'd remember that I had a program where I asked the students to memorize ahadith. I said they must all memorize 40 ahadith. But there's no hadith which says you must memorize 40 hadith and for what it is. Just I thought, well, 40 is a good number, and there are books on hadith which is 40 hadith. So I'm going to do the same with you, inshallah. And all my hadith will be more than 10 lines. No, half a line. Half a line. So I'm going to give you today's hadith. Today's hadith. I'm going to say it very slowly, and you can, of course, listen to the lecture. Hamad, is the sound better? The Prophet ﷺ said, ittaqi, ittaqi, ittaqi. Alifta, qaf, ittaqi. Ittaqi. Ittaqi means fear. Fear. It's a command. Fear. Ittaqi da'watal mazloom. Ittaqi da'watal mazloom. Fear the dua of the oppressed. Fear the dua of the oppressed. Whether the oppressed is a non-believer, whether he worships a stone, Allah says, fear his dua. If you know he's oppressed, you know all these people who walk around the streets looking for food, looking for this, they're oppressed in this country. They're oppressed. They're oppressed people. They're deprived. Allah says, fear their dua. When you see these people, don't shout at them. I shouted one the other day, may Allah forgive me. But he's my friend of mine, he just makes a nuisance for himself sometimes, so I shout at him. Smile with them. Give them a smile. If you don't have money to give them, smile at them. SubhanAllah. Muslims are sometimes people, you know. I see them sitting, I will sit in the row of cars, and the guy will come past my window, you know. And if I have something, I give him. If I don't have, I smile. I give him a smile. Say, sorry, man. And I look at the other people in the cars, and you know, Muslims, they don't want to make eye contact with him. But they just don't want to make eye contact with this man. And that's the least you can give him. If you don't give him money, at least you give him is to smile with him. Doesn't matter if it's a female. Doesn't matter if it's a male. But to ignore the man completely, he's an oppressed person. He's in need also. I say, how does Sheikh know he's in need? He looks like a drug addict. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. How can you judge people you don't know? You don't know. No matter what his eyes look like. No matter how red his face is, you don't know that he's a drug addict. You don't know. Unless you're a drug addict and you look like that. Then you can see what he looks like, me, and I'm a drug addict. Or you say, oh, kijk hoe vuil dit is. Hy kom ons maar voor ons. Sig was. That's not you. That's not for you to decide. That's for Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to everybody. Whether he's naked, whether he's dirty, whether he's black, white, gray. Allah doesn't make distinction. Why must we make distinction between the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why must I say, oh, this man is at the door. Yeah, he's a nuisance, or he's, look at him, you know. Or he's drunk. So what? He doesn't come. He's not asking for wine. He's asking for a piece of bread. You can't keep. That's an excuse. And I always say to people, and I've said this many times, and I have to repeat it all the time to myself because it's very important for me. That charity is not about the person who receives your charity. If you give somebody 5 rand, if I give Haji Muhammad here 5 rand, he will walk away with 5 rand. That's all he will get out of this deal if I give him 5 rand. But I, my Jannah can depend on that 5 rand. Allah can make that 5 rand grow to as big as a mountain. But for him, he goes out, he spends the 5 rand, it's gone. So it's not about him, it's about me. It's about I need to give him that 5 rand. I need to give him so that I can go to Jannah. So next time you see a poor person, please give him something. Don't ask questions. Don't question. Allah doesn't question you when he gives you your salary at the end of the month or your pension at the end of the month. No. Allah asks no questions. Allah just gives. So, اتَّقِ دَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ فَإِنَّهَا لَيْسَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٌ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهَا فَإِنَّهَا لَيْسَ بَيْنَهَا بَيْنَهَا يَسْ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٌ. Listen what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. Listen what the Prophet says. Listen. He's our master. He will plead for us on the day of Qiyamah. Listen to what he says. Absorb the words. Fear the dua of the oppressed. If the oppressed lifts up his hand and says, Allah, that titi didn't treat me nicely, or that Buddha, you know, why did he swear at me? You know, I just asked him for a piece of bread. That's the dua. What does Allah say about that? What does the Prophet say about that dua? Why must we fear that dua? فَإِنَّهَا لَيْسَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَاب. Because between the dua of the oppressed person and between Allah, there's no hijab. You know what hijab is? Hijab is a cover. It's, what else is the word? Veil. Prophet ﷺ says, because when that beggar who's dirty and scruffy, maybe he just says, God, you know, why is this person treating me like this? That dua goes straight up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Straight. لَيْسَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٌ. And the Prophet doesn't say, oh, and there's a hadith that's further part of this hadith, which is not here. I just want you to memorize this hadith. Prophet said, وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ كَافِرٍ. Even if that dua is from a kafir. Oh, it's a Christian. Oh, he's a Muslim. Oh, he's a Muslim. Oh, he took for you. Oh, he for him. He for him. No. Prophet said, if that dua is made by a kafir, that dua goes straight to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this whole deen is built on what? On justice. On justice. Justice starts there. That we should not judge others. That's where justice begins. So the hadith I want you to memorize for me. I'm not going to ask you next week, so don't stay away. اتَّقِ دَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ فَإِنَّهَا لَيْسَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٌ. Lots of lessons in this one sentence. Lots of lessons if you teach it to somebody. And I want to just end off by what a hadith about teaching. You should teach this hadith to your children, your husband, yourself. Write it on your, put it on your fridge. It was narrated by Zayd ibn Thabit I heard the Messenger of Allah say, may Allah bless a man who hears a hadith from us. The Prophet said, may Allah bless a man, or woman of course, who hears a hadith from us and memorizes it so that he or she can convey it to others. For perhaps he's conveying it to one who will understand it better than him. And perhaps the one who conveys knowledge doesn't understand it himself. So you should always share. You may think, you know, you may think that this hadith is difficult, I'm not going to teach it to that one today. No, 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 no. Maybe that one will understand it better than you will understand. Or you, what you will not understand, Allah will give you understanding of it. So we should keep this in mind. All right. This timing, 10:30, is all right? I suppose any time will be all right if you want to come to the class. If there's any new people, please write your name on this white sheet, please, so that we can let you know about the lectures, because times may change, and then you won't know. So if we have your phone and your cell phone number, then we can let you know. Any questions? 5 minutes. So what you're saying is that that when we sin, the moment of sin, you're saying, isn't that shirk? Is that your question? All right. No. There's a big difference between shirk and sin. I know they start with an S, both start with an S. But there's a massive difference between heaven and earth. Prophet ﷺ said, كُلُّ بْنِ آدَمَ خَطَّاءٌ وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. Prophet ﷺ said, every single offspring of Adam commits sin. Every offspring of Adam, which means every single man from Adam until the last man, will commit sin. وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ تَوَّابُ. And the best sinner. So here the Prophet ﷺ gives a class of sinners which is the best. Which means sinners are in different categories. There's the bad sinner, the worst sinner, and so it goes until you find the best sinner. Who's the best sinner? So we all sin. Which is the best of us? The best of us is the one who makes tawbah. Not tonight, not tomorrow, not when I go for Hajj or for Umrah, immediately. Commit a sin now. I know it's difficult, but you have to drop your head and say, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Because these two angels sitting here, they record. So this angel, he loves you. This angel is the one who writes all the good deeds. He just sees good in you. He sees nothing else. This one here, he records all the sins. So when you commit a sin, this one here tells this one, wait, don't write yet, man. Maybe he's going to make tawbah. Maybe, wait. So what is he waiting for? He's waiting for astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. And when you say astaghfirullah, he records it as a good deed, and this one can't record the bad deed. So sin is natural to man. The Anbiya also stepped over the line. Prophet ﷺ also. But they are ma'asum. All their sins are forgiven. Was forgiven all their sins, past sins and present sins. And the Prophet ﷺ had said, the gift of age, the gift of a man or woman who gets to 90, all their previous sins and future sins are forgiven. SubhanAllah. So don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere to ask people to forgive your sins. Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. Please. Ignorance is a mitigating factor. There's the ayah in the Quran which says that if you commit sin and you are unaware that it was a sin, then you are forgiven. No. Shirk is a willful act of transgression against Allah. It's a willful transgression. I mean, Muslims know they must make salah to Allah. They know they must ask forgiveness from Allah. They know this is part of the iman. Part of the iman. So they are transgressing against their own iman, across the faith. Where it's sin, it happens. Sometimes it's planned, sometimes not. Sometimes you don't intend it also, but it happens. You must make tawbah for it. So what is the question? I don't know, Mr. Ignorance, yes. Yeah, I want to discuss shirk as a special topic, which is very important. We need to understand it fully. You know? And I've repeated, I mean, I've said what shirk is now, I just want to repeat it so that I also become conscious of it. It's very important. So Allah forgives. No, there's a big difference. Shirk is a sin against your soul. Most other sins are bodily sins, you know? Sins of the body, sins of money, sins of whatever else it may be. But this is a sin of your faith, standing against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we'll discuss that in detail when we discuss shirk. But there's no relationship between shirk and sin. No relationship. Afiq. Yes. 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 But when the Imam stands in front of the Kaaba, at the door of the Kaaba, people also stand in front of him because it's a circular. So it's people right around him, in front of him, on the side of him, the back of him. He's open, yeah. Yes. Well, I suppose it must be correct. I mean, there's a ulama, you know, and they know the rules and regulations that that apply to the Kaaba. I just want to add what you're saying, and that is, I don't have a view on that now, but for all the times that I've been there, when there's a mayyit, they make salah under the top story. So everybody's everywhere else, facing them, in front of them. And that wasn't an issue. It's not an issue. So maybe this is in the same category. But this is my opinion. I'm not saying it's. I'm just saying that they the great scholars there. I would accept their version, of whatever fatwa they gave on the matter. But I'll make some research myself as well. Shukran. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdika nashhadu wa la ilaha illa anta wa nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Shukran. Did somebody else want to ask a question? That's the reason that I came at opposite 10, because I knew we were going to go over time. If not, then barakallahu fik. Thank you.